Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Lucky Dip. I'm your host, Jordan. In this podcast, we talk about all things business. We talk about starting a new entrepreneurial startup business, and that's with Cryus Gaming, so we're all about esports here. And today, we have the first guest. We have the co-founder of Cryus Gaming, Alex Brody himself. I don't have any clapping things, but there you go.
The other co-founder.
Yes.
The other half.
the better half. Just kidding.
Let me just say, it's mm-hmm. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's great to, you know, kind of talk about, like, we've obviously talked a lot about the business, but it's great to kind of talk about it in this podcast setting too, for us even, you know, like to kind of like debrief and mm-hmm. see what we have to say sort of thing. So yeah, really looking forward to chatting about this.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for being on, because this is only our second episode. So, you know, hopefully we'll have more guests in the future. I want to have you on again a few times too when we have other guests as well. Like, just fun to kind of talk. But before we get too much into it, let's just get you to introduce yourself, kind of talk about where you're from, where you got interest in gaming, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So my name's Alex. I guess my like in-game name is Major League Brody. The Brody being my last name. I have two first names. It's kind of cool. It's a first name situation.
I have that too. Exact same.
Yeah,
with
I guess
me.
Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah.
I think it's like a special like thing we can like anecdote about.
Yes, bond about.
First name.
Love it.
Yeah. I was born in Brandon, Manitoba. Now, I don't know how many people know about Manitoba. Some people, I think it doesn't exist. But I was born in Brandon, which is the second biggest city there. And it's about 50,000 people. So it's kind of like, it's smaller than like Lethbridge here. I think it's smaller than like what Red Deer be here, but it's the second biggest place there. But I actually grew up in a small town called Rapid City. It's a town called Rapid City. It makes no sense, but about 400 people there. And I didn't have like an internet. I did not have an internet connection until I was about like 12 or 13 years old, which like looking back, that boggles my mind because I've like been in love with video games for so long, but I never actually played like online gamings or even like flash games. You know, I didn't even get to like the flash game landscape, flash game esports coming soon. But
yeah,
it was really weird for me because I grew up like, I have a little brother. So it was like all my competitiveness came with gaming with my brother. And we both fell in love with gaming like right from like the GameCube days. But I never really got into like esports until I'd say I was like 15, 16-ish, like definitely in high school, where I watched a lot of League of Legends. I remember when League of Legends came out, I think it's been about 10 years now, so it boggles my mind, but I got into it about season 3 then, I would say, and I sucked at it, obviously. I think most people who start playing League realize it's like not as easy as it might look, but I sucked. But I was really, really into kind of like the esports landscape before I even really got into like the competitive aspect of the game. I found that like in the LCS when I was a kid, like, or even just League of Legends, they had a really good way of connecting with the fans. I really liked the personalities. It felt a lot different from your traditional sports with like, you know, like hockey players, they give the same interview after every game where it's like, yeah, we got to get pucks deep and we got to work hard. And yeah, but in like esports, you started to see a lot of like those personalities early on. For me, it's like the Doublelift, the Bjergsen, those guys back in LCS really are kind of what like started my love for esports. And really ever since then, I've kind of just been interested in the space, you know, stayed in touch with it. Very, very into like the Twitter esports landscape. But yeah, ever since then, ever since League, I've just been all things esports. And I obviously love League. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it because it tilts me a lot. I think a lot of people can maybe agree with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's why, you know, I'm co-founding an org instead of trying to play, because I don't have the mental capacity to just put up with those games, honestly. But yeah, great to be here. Not very good at games, but I love games.
That's awesome. No, that's very similar to me too, like especially with Call of Duty, because that's like the game that I've been playing since, honestly, since, oh dude, I don't even know how long it's been. I think since like 2009 maybe, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh yeah,
like I never was
I
was never like super good at them until like recently. I've like, you know, watched more esports and like kind of learned from watching, and like I've gotten like a better now, but like I just always love playing it, man. I don't know, but I see what you mean. Like I never thought I could compete at the highest level, and you know, I don't really want to be the one competing. It's kind of stressful, and I don't want to do that. But I want to help people do that. Like I love esports and everything too. So
yeah, funny story. I'm not sure if I told you this, but my first COD experience mm-hmm. was on the Wii. I started playing COD on the Modern Warfare 3 with like the weird nunchuck controller gun thing. And I was unreal at that. I like 1v1 people for their clans and stuff. I remember I was like once again, just got internet. And I started out on the Wii of all things.
Bro, COD. That just unlocked a memory for me. I lied. My first Call of Duty ever was also on the Wii. And it was like COD 2 or something. I don't remember. And yeah, I didn't have internet because it was like the Wii. I didn't even know how to work that. So I was just playing campaign and stuff all the time. And yeah, dude, you had to like point at the screen and shoot with like the nunchucks and everything. Dude, that's insane. That's funny.
I imagine, like, I obviously, like, I abused, like, Akimbo, like, MP9s on FW3 back in the day. But could you imagine, like, what, like, quickscoping, like, even just trying to snipe would have been like on that? Like, I would never, I was too scared as a kid to try that, right? Like, I was a KDA player. But, like, I just picture, like, Wii nunchuck gun thing trick shot compilation. Like,
you folks are going to hear this first. You ready? Right here on Lucky Dip Podcast. Alex, let's make a competitive Wii team. Could you imagine? We're at events and everybody has like their nunchucks out. I don't even know if they make Wii's anymore. I'm not sure. It'd probably have to be VR of some sort, but yeah, that's out of the question.
I still have my Wii and I still have a copy of MW3 on the Wii.
Like, nice.
I don't think there's any online services now. Like, I think they might have actually shut down online services. You might have to like fact check me on that. But I don't think you can actually, like, there was at a time like a multiplayer component in MW3. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there has been a lot.
At one point, but I don't think anymore. But yeah, it was just weird. Like, especially like it's like nothing like a controller, right? Like,
no.
Literally nothing. So it was so weird. And then when I eventually did like convince my parents to get me like a PS3 to play with my friends, I just sucked. Like, they would destroy me because I had no idea how to use a controller properly.
Yeah, that's but, actually funny though. I can just imagine people on stage like using Wiis and stuff and like moving around.
Yeah.
I would watch that. I was gonna say it was fun. Like, that'd be a funny video, maybe. I don't know. Let's keep that written down. That's like, I never thought of that before.
Listeners of the podcast, don't steal our ideas.
Don't steal our ideas. Well, you can, but we'll just make it better. No offense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay, so let's talk about how we met. Because people are probably curious, like, how did these two beauties meet? How did they come together to make Cryus Gaming? So, Alex and I both just graduated. We have a communications degree. Both go to university here. That's why, you know, he moved from Manitoba all the way over here to Alberta. A little more people here.
The great journey.
Yep, the great journey.
Most boring drive ever, but yeah.
Is it all straight line?
Basically, you basically take the number one, like the Trans-Canada Highway the whole way. Nice. There's no turns, really.
Sweet. That'd be so boring. I couldn't stand that. It's crazy. I don't know. Sometimes road trips just, they're fun, but they're also like, dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it depends where you're going. But anyway.
Yes. Off topic. But yeah, so we met at Mount Royal. It's a university that we went to. We both have broadcasting degrees in communications. And Alex, we've wanted to do this for a little while. Do you want to tell everybody how we kind of came up with this idea as a joke?
So, like, in first year, like, for me, when I moved here, I didn't know anybody. Like, I didn't know anybody. But I remember, like, when I met you, you were very, like, easygoing and super nice. And we also had, like, most of those first year classes together.
Yeah.
I think, like, everyone did. But I remember, like, early in first year, I think it was, like, right around when 100 Thieves got created, right? Like,
it was,
like, kind of around. Because we both kind of, like, you were in the COD space, but I, like, Nade shot.
Yeah,
so I remember like that was happening, and we were talking about it.
Well, and they had an LCS team; they had a league team too, right?
Yeah, 100 Thieves entered the league when they went franchise.
Yeah,
when they franchised out. So like we were talking about that, and then 4 years ago, we were just like sitting there talking. We're like, dude, what if we started our own esports org?
Yeah,
and like at the time, like we were like laughing about. We were like also like that'd be so sick. Like we were talking about how like we'd like to do our internships in like LA, like working for content teams, or like we were both kind of sharing like the same sort of like ideas and like goals. Even like we kind of had that similar passion. But like so yeah, for sure we were like haha, like we're gonna start an esports org.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 4 years.
It's insane. Well, it's crazy too because like. I think the point that's important too is that both of us have the similar interest within esports. Like we have the same vision about, you know, create content while also competing. We know that that's a valuable thing. So with 100 Thieves, they do a really good job of that, creating content and also competing in a variety of games. So we were talking about that, how sick it would be to work for an org at first. That's what we thought. We're like, oh, we should work for an org and it'd be dope to like go with their team and like film videos for them and do social media, all that. And then we were like, yo, or we should just make our own, because all of them are in the States, and you know, to work in the States for Canadians is very hard. You have to get sponsored by them. And I mean, let's be honest, they have a ton of people down there who are very talented. So the odds are they would not. Yeah.
Our understanding was like most orgs like will want to avoid Canadian like just employees, because one, you also have to go through that whole visa process, right? And it's sometimes a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
And like one guy in the community though, like I think his name's Mateus. He's Cloud9's social media manager. Mm-hmm. He was one I was shocked. He was able to get a visa for the US, but at first it was actually to like cater to the Brazilian fans. Like they actually brought him to the States. And I think it was at Immortals at first, but his story is one I kind of like looked at and I was like, damn, that's something like that would work for like Canadians as well.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like you kind of need that reason. Like one, speaking multiple languages is probably huge, especially in esports. But yeah, like we definitely like had those ideas of working. And I think we even like went to our work experience coordinator, like mentioned the idea.
We did.
Of the possibility.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it was out of reach. So we were like, oh yeah, fine. We'll just do our own. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. So like basically, yeah, because we had to do internships and stuff last year. So Alex and I kept asking, we're like the only two asking about esports. We're like, do you have any contacts? We're telling our coordinator, like anything going on in Vancouver and Toronto, those are the two biggest cities in Canada for esports, and trying to figure all this out. And there was absolutely nothing. So at that point we kind of were like, yo, if we got to do this, we got to do this on our own.
Do it ourselves.
Yeah. So that's just interesting how we kind of met doing that. And I guess that leads us to the point where in January we actually got accepted. Not anybody can just join this class, but we got accepted into a Launchpad Accelerator course. And that really kickstarted everything off, eh?
Yeah, that was really interesting because, like, so we hopped on and we were kind of doing some esports stuff in the fall.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing to, like a business level magnitude or anything. It was more just kind of, like, trying some stuff out, like,
in the space.
Kind of like a passion sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, I did an extension of my internship essentially, and my boss there, I was telling him about kind of like our love for esports and like kind of like what our aspirations are. And then he immediately was like, oh, I'm going to set you up with a meeting with this guy who's the director of the institute at the university, and you should take this Launchpad class. One, we were able to get credit for it, whereas like if we were pursuing, it would have been on top of all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And two, like the amount of like insights and wisdom we could have gotten from the class was like super, super valuable. So as soon as this came to me, like I was like, I gotta tell Jordan about this because this is a massive opportunity. And yeah, we ended up hopping in this class, and it was quite a journey, I would say. It was definitely weird doing it online. I feel like it would have been different in the in-person space.
Agreed.
But it was such a good class to kind of like help bring those kind of like passions and those ideas
into reality.
Sort of to like, yeah, into reality, but also kind of like help us kind of like educate ourselves on what actually needs to be done. Because like there's a huge difference between like, oh, we could do this and we can do all this and I have a million ideas, and actually like being able to get yourself to that point to be able to do those things. I think we didn't realize like there was a huge path to get there first.
So yeah,
that class really opened my eyes to that as well, the entrepreneurial process, which was super interesting.
Yeah, and the way that class is broken down, so like, I mean, just to be clear, we didn't start Cryus yet. We were actually part of a different esports organization that wasn't going to be competitive or anything. It was, well, we weren't really sure what it was going to be. So we kind of joined it with that, and we're working with just in the esports space in general for the first couple months, because the way the class is broken down was in these things called sprints. So it was like basically every month there would be a sprint where like your team would come together and present to everybody else in the class what you did, what you set out to do, your next steps, how it affects your business. Things like that. So since we're so new to this space, the first couple of sprints was just like talking to people. We talked to, how many people did you talk to?
I just over 20, I think like 22, 23 people I chatted with.
Yeah. And there were like people all over. Then I talked to some people too. And we're basically just learning everything we could about the space. Cause like kind of what Alex said too, about the path to getting where you want to go is also making sure that your problem, you see a problem in the space that you're trying to enter and that your solution is validated. Right. So we wanted to make sure that what we were going to do, what we wanted to do, which was becoming a competitive organization, creating content, was a problem in Canada, that our solution would be being that org. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that good.
Yeah. Like the big thing is like, since like we were passionate about esports, we kind of had like our own predetermined assumptions about like what the industry looked like and what the problems were based on our experience. But then I think we soon learned that everybody has different experiences, and like you're not going to find one collective problem for everybody to solve. But you're also like, sometimes you'll assume that some problems exist that maybe aren't actually there, or that there's a bigger problem that needs solving essentially. So like, I think for me personally, like when we started, my assumption was like, there's not enough options to compete. But little did I know there was like sites like Battlefly and Smash.gg and like organizations here such as Ace, like putting on events. Like personally, I hadn't participated in them, so I wasn't aware of them, which caused me to have this assumption. So basically what we did with all these conversations was actually talk to people in the industry, get a better idea of like the whole landscape, and from that come to a more solid problem. And that's exactly what we did in those first sprints.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we did is like, yeah, we're like learning like in the first couple sprints is really basic. Cause, and the other thing too, is like in this class, like nobody else was doing esports. We were like the first people kind of doing esports, and even our instructor, was learning as we were going. So we kind of had to also explain everything in like an easy to understand way, which we struggled with sometimes. Cause we just, again, make assumptions that people know what an esports org is even. So like, that was a bit of a learning curve. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and I forget what I was going to say now. You can continue if you had something to say.
Well, like, and the nice thing, like, the whole thing with entrepreneurship, like, you're trying to solve a problem, right? So, like, that was the big thing, I think, is, like, we weren't really sure at first what problem we were solving or how. Like, even with my assumption, I was like, well, what, am I going to put up a tournament every other day and, like, manage that? Like, no, like, that's not going to necessarily solve the problem. So, mm-hmm. For me, it was like, it was so good to be able to chat with people, one, because like I found that especially with things being all online, we were able to reach people all across Canada. That was really, really great for me, in my opinion, because like, once again, you might see like even geographically, like problems are different or ideas, opinions are very different based on like region. So it was nice to get that kind of more, a bit of a wider reach. We didn't get to like every single province in Canada by any means, but yeah. That was really, really nice to be able to, one, like, I found a lot of them were really nice and willing to chat, like, which was great. And it seems that, like, everyone wants to solve these problems and, like, they're willing to, like, collaborate or, like, share knowledge in order to do so, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think the reason is because, I remember what I was going to say now, is that since we're up here in Canada, right, like, we're behind in the esports field, at least in the esports landscape, we're like pretty far behind the States, and even the States is behind Asia by like quite a long time, right? So we're kind of starting from the very beginning, and that's where there's like a lot of lack of infrastructure and everything here in Canada. So we're trying to help build that, and that's where we kind of took some of these problems. Like we thought, oh, there's not enough tournaments. We found that there are a lot of tournaments. The more of the problem is there's not enough hype around them, there's not enough competition. So that's where we kind of came in with our solution being, okay, well, we're both have communications backgrounds. Alex has done lots of stuff in broadcasting with TV. I've done lots of stuff with radio, with marketing, and we have degrees now. So we're like, why don't we take that knowledge of like building hype and put that towards making an org and trying to generate some more competition? So we've always wanted to have teams. Like, we always wanted that to kind of be something that we do, but we also realized, hey, why don't we just like be the best that we can be and kind of set the bar for what other orgs in Canada should be doing. So we want to generate some competition. We want to have some rivalries. We want to have content being created everywhere, such as this podcast, such as TikTok, social media, YouTube videos. We have so much cool stuff coming, which we'll get to little teasers later on in this podcast. But we kind of want to set the standard and like make it so everybody else is inspired as well to like, okay, if they're doing that, let's go out and do that. So I think that was kind of an interesting thing that we learned as well. And basically in March is when we actually launched Cryus, and that was hectic, hey Alex, that whole,
yeah, it's kind of crazy like to think that we're coming up on May here, but like that's in the grand scheme of things like only 2 months. Like, it's kind of gone by pretty fast, which is crazy to think about.
It's insane.
But just on that note there too, like I think honestly it baffles my mind that Canada is like so far behind. Like, obviously, you know, like you look at some of the key differences like CFL, NFL, or like the fact that we only have one NBA team, one MLB team, which both are in Toronto. It baffles my mind that Canada does lag behind sometimes simply because like it's almost like predetermined, right? Like, it's not like it's only happening in esports that we're behind the States. We're kind of behind the States in a lot of things, like I just said. But the thing with gaming is, like, anybody can really improve and strive to be the best. And sort of my vision with, like, helping players and, you know, like, agreeing to produce content for them and helping them build their own brands too is, like, that's going to have a, like, long-term impacts on the entire landscape. You know, like, it's kind of like a win-win. It's not like just Cries is going to profit from, you know, success of players. Like, when you start to see Canadian success, you get empowerment towards other people, like even people that they meet at events and stuff like that. But also, talent development is insane. Like, growing a city's talent pool or even like a region's talent pool in anything has so many impacts that go beyond just what they're competing in or what they're talented at. So what I mean by that, like, if you have a fantastic, like, for example, I guess Canada's biggest thing is hockey. If you have a fantastic program for building talent in hockey, that's going to boost the local economy because people are going to want to go to these games. They're going to have events, stuff like that. But it's also going to want brands and events is the big thing, to come to this location because they know it's rich in talent. And that's a big reason I think Calgary had the 88 Olympics, was because everything, like, the talent pool was very large here, the economy was booming, and everything was going right. And because of that, like, the Olympics wanted to work with Calgary, and, like, it, once again, with that, it brings, like, tourism revenue. Like, in my opinion, like, building talent pool has so many, like, long-term impacts that go beyond just, like, the esports space that really give back to, like, the bigger, like, the communities and, like, the city you're in as a whole, in my opinion. Like, I hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. It's, if you build it up, if you build it, they will come. I think I've said this to you many times in meetings, but, like, it benefits the whole greater area and not just the people in esports. Like, exactly. And a big thing through that is, in my opinion, through events, especially.
And that's the thing where, you know, what you mentioned earlier there, Alex, is, like, how we're lucky, not lucky in a sense that everything's online right now, but, you know, we are able to talk to a lot of people who we wouldn't normally be able to. And the other part that's good with esports is that we can do lots of stuff online, you know? So COVID isn't really holding us back in that regard. It just is for the things like you just mentioned, like actually meeting people in person, actually having in-person events, doing in real life videos. So, like, these are things that we do want to build and grow as we continue. But, like, right now we're trying to take advantage as much as we can with the online landscape. And even just what you said with building the economy and stuff, we here at Cryus too, like, we've always wanted to give back to the community. So we're really hoping that we grow big enough where we can go to Mount Royal, and with those students who need to do internships, we can offer them something and be like, hey, if you want to work in esports, we have an org here. When we were your age, we had nothing. There was nothing to do. So we built it ourselves. And now you have the advantage of coming here and learning some stuff with us for a few months. So I think that's also important, is just building up our community, giving back, and, you know, reaching fans across the world, because we're not geographically have barriers when it's online content, but also building, like, the local community is exactly what Alex was saying. We really want to help out and build community and build infrastructure around esports and go beyond that by helping the economy and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in my opinion, like, the esports landscape makes up kind of what I call the active economy, which encompasses all, like, activity related stuff. So what, like, the active economy is massive, especially in larger metropolitan cities that have, like, professional sports teams, and everyone is part of the active economy. Like, if you go to the park to play Pokemon Go, you're part of the active economy. But, like, at the same time, esports, in my opinion, fits in that space. You know, it's not necessarily including, like, an active component, but there's the competitiveness and there's still the activity component. Like, you're still engaging yourself.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, like, esports should be considered part of this greater active economy. And with that comes, once again, like we've been talking, building up the community and just greater impacts that go beyond esports as a whole. And quickly, don't get me wrong, I love the online aspect, but I'm so looking forward to being able to go to events, actually connecting people face to face, because, you know, you can't really leave a good lasting impression through the online space, in my opinion, unless it's really like a on camera, maybe like a big organized thing. But if you're just having conversations, it's so hard to, like, build that strong connection that you would in face to face. Like, even a short, like, 5-second exchange in an event, in my opinion, is massive, just to like, once again, engage people, be part of the community, and hopefully build the Cryos brand as well. So I am so excited to get back in person when we can too.
Me too. That's literally, we've had so many conversations about so much cool ideas we have for when events start coming back up. And like I said, since I've done some stuff with radio and all these other traditional media as well, we kind of want to take that knowledge and like apply that to esports, since it's so new. We can kind of do it in our own way and kind of forge our own path. Like we can take like what other people have done into consideration and kind of follow some of their steps, but also like try new stuff out, right? So there's no set rules or boundaries yet for esports. So we're really hoping to do some awesome stuff within the community, at events, at, you know, even trade shows, anything like that. We have some cool ideas and I'm excited to do that. But
yeah,
before we get to the next topic, one last thing about that Launchpad class is that we had a sprint. Sorry, not a sprint. We had lots of those. We had a pitch. That was crazy. What did we do, Alex? Tell the audience what we did.
Oh, man. So we did this pitch, and I put my computer up on some Amazon boxes. It was giving me a bit of anxiety, but yeah. I, like, dressed up in a nice little suit and, like, stood up. I was like, I gotta stand up. But, yeah, we participated in this pitch, and we have plans to go back for another pitch with the university. But this pitch to the university was called the Founders Fund, and it was basically the university wanting to support students, essentially. I think, really, anybody could have applied for it.
I think so.
And it was just basically... The school has a massive pitch competition that encapsulates, I think, like $80,000 in total.
Yep.
That's dispersed out. But we decided, like, we just decided we weren't maybe ready for that magnitude with Cryos. Especially, like, the application was due kind of just when we formed, like, literally early March.
It was literally the day after. Like, it was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 1 or 2 days before the deadline for this really big pitch. We formed.
Yeah.
We split off from my other business that we were actually with and formed our own business. We didn't even have a name at the time. We were just to be determined, and we had nothing besides our knowledge. So we didn't get accepted to that one because we also didn't really want to yet, because we're like, we don't have anything solid. Like, we really want to give them a good presentation. So
yeah, because like, once again, like, the better you can pitch yourself, the more money you're going to get. So we went with this Founders Fund pitch, which was essentially like, we weren't competing against anybody for this. It was just us pitching to some of the innovators and entrepreneurs at Mount Royal. And it was called, it's called the Founders Fund pitch.
You did, yes.
Kind of cool. It was a pitch for about $2,500.
Which we actually just got today.
We literally, yeah, we got that, like, I got the e-transfer like 2 a.m. I was like, who sent an MRU e-transfer at 2 a.m.? But
yeah.
But yeah, we went on there, and $2,500 for us is massive.
Huge.
Like, kind of boggled my mind, because we were seeing some of these other pitches where they're asking for like $80,000 for branding, or like, it was like, I'll use $40,000 for branding and like $40,000 for like ask. And I was like, wow, I would just like $100 to like make a
logo.
Logo.
Yeah.
So we went on this pitch for $2,500. And we succeeded, obviously.
It was insane.
It was a great experience. It was really great to actually pitch the business to some almost, it felt like Shark Tank kind of.
It did actually. Yeah, well, because we weren't with other people, like, it was just the judges and us. There wasn't like a big presentation, so yeah, it literally felt like Shark Tank. You're going in, they're asking you questions like after your presentation. They're like, so if you get this, what do you think you'll do with this, or how much do you think this is worth? And we're like, ooh.
There was a couple tricky questions they threw in there that I wasn't ready for, but overall, it was great. You know, like, we pitched the idea. We had our branding, some of our branding at the time.
Tiny bit.
So that was nice.
Yeah, we had the name. Yeah. We had Cryos picked out, which was nice. So we had a face to it, I guess you could say, a name to our ideas.
We had to explain what an esports org was. That was fun.
Yeah, right at the beginning. We were like, we practiced this before the pitch, right? Like, our presentation was about 10 minutes that we had. What were we, maybe a minute in, and they're like, yo, stop. They're like, like, can you explain what an esports org is? And we're like, oh my goodness, we didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it was fun though, because it also kind of like helped us prep for future pitches, because part of the panel was people in the community we already knew. So it was nice to, like, at least they kind of had an idea of what we were like and what our goals and plans were. They had a rough idea, but I guess they didn't have a rough idea of what an esports org was for us. And like, it was a great question to ask because it really clarified some stuff. And I think that was our biggest concern when pitching, especially to pitching to individuals who aren't familiar with esports landscape, was just to make sure everything was clear, understandable. And yeah, it went really well.
It did go good.
Some solid practicing and
we won. So worked. Something worked.
We succeeded. So that worked. And we'll be back for the big one. We will be back.
We'll be back next year for it. And the nice part is because since we both graduated, we actually have a year after you graduate to go back. So they kept saying multiple times they want to see us back at the pitch next year. So that's where we're giving ourselves like this 1 year deadline in a sense to like build as much as we can, build up Cryus as much as we can, use this money to like really help us out and get us started so we have a really, really solid foundation. Because next year when we do that pitch, that could really jumpstart our careers with this and it could really set things to the next level because there's a lot of money on the line. And it'd be exciting. But yeah, we did win this first pitch that we ever did. It was great. We learned a lot. And there's one thing I was going to say, but I do not remember. Oh, yeah. So like some of the things that it really helped us already do is like we made a website now. We did some stuff with our logo. We did like we've already done some things with it, which is nice. And trying to save it as much as we can as well, because it's a bit of money, but it's also not that much. But Alex, I can successfully say that as of right now, Cryus Gaming is a profitable esports organization.
Whoa, dude. We're turning a profit until we have to incorporate. That'll cost some money.
Yeah. It's just funny to say we're profitable right now.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't really think, like, especially even going into the Launchpad class, I didn't necessarily expect to get money. Like,
me neither.
I wasn't really thinking about the pitch competitions when we got into the class. I was more just thinking about the class. And then they had all these opportunities for money. And I was like, wow, why didn't we get on this sooner? Like, this is crazy.
Such a good opportunity. And that's where it's like, it's great that Alex, you set us up with that, because it really, like you said before, instead of working on building an org and doing all this stuff outside of school or on top of school, I should say, we, in our last semester of our final year, this was a part of our class. Like, this was a whole class dedicated just to this. We had no tests, no assignments beside build your business. And that's exactly what we did every single day, basically. Like, it was insane. So, such a great experience. Yeah, it was great. It was great to go on top of it. I guess I should probably say, like, what kind of Cryus is, because people might be wondering, why did they choose this? What the hell does that even mean? So...
Yeah, my brother, the other day, he was like, oh, are you like a subset of Prius? And I was like, what? No. He was like trying to like say we sound like a car brand. I was like, bro, we're God. We're literally a Titan. Like,
exactly. Get out of here. So,
do you want to break it down a little bit?
Yeah. Please. So Cryus is actually the Titan of the constellations in Greek mythology. And they're a little less known than some of the other gods and stuff. So the good part about that is that the name is not used like at all, so we were able to pick that one, because the hardest part about finding an esports name is that every single thing you can freaking think of is already taken 10 times. So we had a list of, dude, how many things? We probably had a list of like 20 to 30 names. Every single one of them had like already was taken except Cryus. And the funny part about Cryus is that a couple of years ago, like in I think 2019, oh my goodness, that's already 3 years ago, I wanted to start, oh wait, no, that's 2 years ago, right? It's okay. Math isn't my strong suit.
Yeah, it's 2 years. Don't worry.
Okay, just want to make sure. I wanted to start my own esports org. Like, I know Alex and we talked about it like in first year, and then like I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. But I made the name, thought of it, and I was like, this is a dope name. Made all the socials for it. Never did anything with it. I think I tried it for like a week, and then I was like, I don't know what to do, so I gave up. And I put that in the middle of the list of like the names that we had, and Alex liked it. This other guy who helps us out with some stuff and was giving us some names as well liked that name too. And I was like, all right, boys, well, that's funny, because I actually picked that name and I have everything ready to go. So
yeah, I thought that was really funny, because like out of all the things, Cryus stuck out to me, and I had no idea like Cryus was like yours, essentially. Like, you'd already made it. Like, it was just one of the other names in the thing for me. And then I picked Cryus, and you're like, no way, this is actually the one I made these accounts for and like tried out. And I was like, it's a sign.
It is
definitely a sign.
Yeah, so we went with that, worked with the designer to get our logo out, which is a pretty dope logo for the start, at least. So we're trying to, with our branding and stuff, since, like we said, Cryus is the constellation Titan or whatever, so really try to incorporate space and purples and greens, things like that, into like our logo and into just some of the design for things. I'm pretty happy with it, though. It looks
good.
Yeah,
I really like the sea. I think it looks really pretty. I think people, I think the cut, like the nice galaxy color purple, like one is just like super eye-catching. But I also think like it's a nice warm, like tranquil color as well that makes you feel at peace, you know? Like it kind of does both. It like stands out and looks super super sick, but it's also kind of calming at the same time.
Agreed. Like, it looks it's out of this world. That's what it is. It's literally out of this world. If you guys want to see what we're talking about, go to CriusGaming.com. That's C-R-I-I-U-S gaming.com. You can see all of our logos, see all the stuff. Fancy new website. Made it myself. Alex is going to put some tweaks into it. That's where all the new updates are going to be for everything. Our social media is linked there. Everything for Cryus Gaming. We're excited. We just got that launch. And actually, yesterday, Alex, we had our first visitor to our website. That's not us. Insane. Wasn't me. Wasn't you. I don't think. It was you. It wasn't you?
I don't know. I don't know if it count me because I'm technically on the Wix account too.
Okay, let's pretend it was not either one of us because it did give me a notification and I've been on the site a few times, so I don't think it was us. That is exciting.
Let's go.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
You finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm excited about the website. It's going to be cool. I'm excited to actually have like a roster on there, you know, like get some portraits done.
Oof.
But I think that might be what brings you to your next topic. So I'll let you go.
Yeah. Literally, that was a perfect follow up because one of the last topics I wanted to touch on quick is what we're excited about. Alex, tell me. What are you excited about for building this? What are you excited for what's coming next? Oh, also, we should probably say we're competing in... Well, sorry. We're not competing yet. Well, we will... I don't know. You go. I don't want to spoil stuff.
So, I won't spoil the first thing there either. But believe me, I am a very competitive person. Obviously, I live on my own now. But back when I was living with my parents in Manitoba, they would tell me, like, to, like... either shut up or go watch my sports somewhere else because I will literally stand at the TV and yell at it. Like I am competitive when it comes to my teams, especially like soccer. Like soccer is a big thing for me personally, but like my brother, he always just roasts me. He's like, yelling at the TV isn't going to make it any better. I'm like, well, you know what? Internally, it makes me better.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so excited to be competing because I love supporting my teams, and this is quite literally my team.
This is your team.
So, yeah,
let's go.
I'm very excited for us to compete online. I'll obviously like be a goof, but I'm also looking forward to in-person events because I think I'll be pretty insane. Good content myself. Because I'll be like running all over the place, like yelling, like yeah, let's go, Cryus, yeah. But like, yeah. I think the number one thing, I'm so excited to start competing. Obviously, we still have quite a few steps to get there, but that's the big thing for me is I'm so looking forward to having a team, you know, maybe giving some good pep talks in pre-game, post-game.
Let's go.
And really overall just supporting Cryus Gaming essentially. That's my big excited thing for the future. How about you, Jordan?
No, I love that. I'm very much on the same boat. This isn't spoiling anything yet. We will have an announcement later on, but like the first game that we're going to look to compete in is going to be Rocket League. So that relates to, you know, soccer being your favorite sport, because for those of you who've never played Rocket League, it's 3v3 soccer with rocket powered cars in like an arena where you can do flips and fly in the air. It's very mechanically difficult. Hey Alex, like, dude, it's difficult, but it's fun.
Yeah. That's funny because like when I honestly hadn't played Rocket League at all until it started to become free to play. But even then, I don't think I played too much till around January when we got in this class. And one of the people I talked to is a Rocket League player for the MRU team. And he said Rocket League, in his opinion, is the most like mechanically challenging game that he's ever played. And I was like, really? Like, really? Okay. And then when I actually started playing the game, I was like, oh my God, he's so right. This is ridiculous.
It's insane.
Like, people make it look so easy when you're watching, but like actually playing, it's like I can't even hit the simplest jump sometimes.
Dude, I miss the ball.
Yeah, like I can't, when it's on the ground, I can hardly hit it. And then I see people hitting it when it's like triple bouncing off walls, doing flips.
Flip resets and dude.
Yeah, it's quite the difficult game.
It is, but the good part is that it's easy to understand. It's free to play now. It's cross-platform, and it's starting to gain a bit more traction now. Like, we know it's been around for a little while, but we think it's really growing now, and we think it's such a good starter to get into. Smaller roster, we can create some content around it. Again, easy for spectators to understand, for sports people, right? It's a lot of times in association with other universities here and their sports teams, because it goes along with like Madden or FIFA, because, you know, it's still technically soccer, right? So that's where that's kind of interesting too, to kind of break into the collegiate level. Yeah, so I'm excited to compete too. Just wrapping back to that question, like, that is, ever since I was young, like, I thought, yo, owning my own team would be dope. I always wanted to be part of clans. I always wanted to have like just a clan with my buddy. So it's like, you know, when you go into a lobby with us, you all see the same 3-4 digit, or not digit, I guess, letters, and you're like, oh no, what are we in for? So, like, ever since I was young, I was like, this is something I want to do. And I've always realized I'm not the best at any of these games that I play. I just have a lot of fun playing them. I've met a lot of people through it. It's just a way to cool down. And I think that us going into this now, owning a team, variety of teams, hopefully, down the line, very exciting. And I think, like, exactly what you said, Alex, in-person events is going to be so much fun when we're there, we're cheering on our team. We want to have it so that way everybody knows that we're Cryos. Everybody is there for us. You know what I mean? Hey, they might be for some other teams, but when they hear us chanting, they hear all of our fans and everything and see all the content that we produce, they're going to want to be a part of our squad. So
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is like, I want to make sure when we talk to players that we want to support them, you know, like,
100%.
Although, like, they're playing for us, like, we want to be, like, we want them to still, like, feel as though, like, we are there for them. Like, I think some people get caught up a little bit too much, like, oh yeah, the players are, like, basically, like, the org's, like, chess pieces. And in my opinion, like, the players should be the org. Like, the players make up the org, its community, its fans. Like, you know, like, they gotta be the ones that fans can connect with, and not just, you know, like, a fill-in slot for this tournament, and maybe we'll have three different guys next tournament, you know? Like, we want to find players who really, really, like, see that we're here for them, and that we can maybe help, like, foster a long-term, like, relationships and build together, essentially, because early on for us, we're going to be trying to build ourselves just as much as the players are trying to build themselves individually.
Yeah.
And I really think, like, that, and at least, like, especially from our conversations that we were talking about earlier, I personally think, like, it makes sense to, like, rather than try and just bring out a new lineup every other week, rotate through players all the time, it really, really makes sense to actually, like, have a productive relationship where you build effective content, which benefits everybody. It's not like good content only benefits the org. Like, it also benefits the player themselves, and that's a big thing we want to care about, is we don't just care about results. Like, we care about the players, we care about our fans. Like,
exactly,
the biggest thing is, like, showing that we're human and we care.
Exactly, and I get that, and I think that's what's gonna hopefully set us apart from other things too, is because you know, even here in Canada, I know it's probably happened in the States too, lots of times, like, big companies will come in who've never dealt with esports before, never even played a video game in their lives, and they just throw a whole bunch of money at something, and they're like, okay, just, like, figure it out. Whereas we're kind of coming at this from the very bottom, right? We only have a couple $1,000s that we wanted to pitch to put into this right now, so we're gonna kind of build this up as we go and really care for our players and care for our fans, the community, not just in esports, but even, like, our surroundings, like, because we want to have that Canadian identity too and try to compete with all these teams in the States. We want to be a bigger factor in the North American leagues and stuff. So we're really excited to get going, and we're excited for you guys to, like, be there for the journey with us. And if you're listening now, you're one of the first people getting all this insider info, so you can look back as we continue doing more stuff and hopefully competing. And very excited to get going, and I'm getting hyped just talking about it, just thinking about it.
Exactly. And I guess, should we announce then that, like, technically we're going to be competing?
You know what, I spoiled it at the beginning. But we will be losing. Okay, Alex, go ahead. Say this announcement right now. If you listen to the end of the podcast, you get the first announcement ever. This is not on socials. This is, nobody knows about this yet. Alex, go ahead. Tell them what we're doing. You and me, specifically.
Jordan and I, teaming up, the ultimate Rocket League Gold Plat duo, we're going to be participating in the Edmonton Direct Is that the right term?
Yeah, Edmonton Direct, right? ASA, Alberta Esports Association, Cross. It's Edmonton Direct, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be competing in their Rocket League 2v2 tournament, May 16th.
Be there.
So literally just over 2 weeks, yeah. We are all set. We're all set with our team. We're registered now, so we're going to be there. Hopefully we can meet some really, really nice, cool people. Like, that's, for me, that's going to be the big goal of the event. Like, I kind of accepted that we're probably not going to win this thing, like, realistically. No. But no. If we can score some goals, I'm happy with that. You know, if we lose, like, 5-1, I'll take the one goal. You know,
I agree. It'll be fun, though.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. It looks like there's so many fun events, too. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, personally, I would be interested in competing in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Like, I hardly play it, but I think that'd be fun. So, like, I think this is a really, really great event because they have so much going on. And hopefully, we haven't confirmed this, but hopefully we'll be able to stream our matches ourselves.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And that's kind of, like, the big part for us is since we come from that media and that content background, everything we do, we want to associate with media and creating content out of. So we're hoping that we can stream it, we can make some videos about it, at least like a YouTube video, some TikToks, just everything to kind of build the hype around it and to kind of show, because it's funny. We're competing, Christ Gaming is officially competing in something, and it's not even an actual roster, it's just the two co-founders who've been playing Rocket League for 2 months. So, and not even consistently at that. That's like maybe a couple times a week for like an hour. So it'll be like really funny to see how that works out. And you're right, Alex, if we score a couple goals, I'm going to be happy with that. And also, we're mainly doing it too to network with people, because originally we were just going to go watch, but we're like, why watch when we can compete and create content out of it and hopefully actually play against some people who are really good and be like, yo, want to come scrim with us real quick and see how you're doing?
So. Exactly. Like, I'm hoping our personalities will find a way to show for these people too. And that's the tricky thing with it being an online event, is it's like you can't, once again, you're missing that in-person element. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to, one, going, two, seeing what the Rocket League talent pool is like here in Alberta already.
In the 2v2.
Like, I'm kind of pumped to see that. Yeah, like, yep. I'll definitely, like, obviously, you know, I'm going to try and get it. We're going to try and get as deep as we can. But, like, I'm going to keep watching these teams, take notes. I'm not an expert, but I'm excited to see, like, what the best of the best looks like in Alberta for Rocket League, honestly.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. And once we get our rosters and stuff, there'll be more announcements, and then that'll be our actual team, which will enter in lots of, like, I'm talking tons of, like, online tournaments. There's actually a league here in Canada where Rocket League's a part of, and the summer split is in July, so that's kind of when we're going to try to have, like, a solidified team. Alex and I will not be part of that, but we will be filming, creating content, and supporting our squad. So
we'll be there.
We'll be there, just not actually playing, and that's probably good because we would be losing, and that is not good. We want to win.
we're definitely gonna have to practice a little bit leading up to May 16th, as we've discussed.
Yeah, we're gonna we're gonna do some scrims, and yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll practice a little bit.
We'll be fine. Anyways, I think that wraps it up. Anything else you want to say? Any closing remarks?
Oh yeah. Well, first off, just thanks for having me on the podcast. It's great. It's great to be here. Great to chat about Christ Gaming. And honestly, all I think I could say now is I'm really, really excited to see what the future holds. And come watch us on the 16th.
Love to see it.
Watch us lose. It'll just be funny. Like, honestly,
it'll be funny. Yeah.
For the memes. Yeah.
We're there for the memes. We're there to create the memes and make the meme lords happy and create some content for us. And hey, if we win, dude, could you imagine we win? Like, just think about that. Like, what if we go in and we actually, like, we win?
We win. I'm just signing myself as one of our players.
Sounds good. Or at least just as a sub. Maybe as a sub. Because I want you on the business end helping me out.
That's true. I'll be a third or a fourth if we're competing in trios, you know, like the backup guy.
Yeah, not the third. Okay, I guess the third. Yes. It's okay.
If it's duos, I'll be the third.
If it's duos, you'll be the third, but we're going to try to get a trio because that's the standard. So you'll be the fourth.
Yeah. I'll take it. I'll try and get to, like, maybe diamond.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to get out of silver again and back into gold and then into plat eventually.
I feel like with a bit of commitment, I could get out of plat. But it's like after, like, a run of games on Rocket League of competitive, I'm just spent. And, like, I kind of think I said that early at the start of the podcast. But,
yeah. So anyway, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, thanks for hopping on the Lucky Dip podcast, episode number 2. Hopefully in the future we're going to make this a little video component too with it. We obviously like to do a lot of content, so having a video component would be great. And also, it would be great for us to be in person, so that way it's not over Discord. The audio quality will be better, and then you can see Alex's beautiful face and create some memes from that in itself.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I will see you next time. Have a good one. Bye.